For tonight's program, we have the very special privilege of having in the studio Sri Chinmoy, who we will introduce in a few minutes. He will be answering questions that the radio audience will be able to telephone in. Sri Chinmoy has asked that people ask questions about their spiritual life, about their inner life. This is a unique opportunity to have a question answered by a God-realized master. It's also a unique opportunity to hear such a man answer questions about the inner quest of individuals. So those of you who have such questions, in a few minutes, or you can start right now, you can call 864-9228, and we will take down your question and relay it to Sri Chinmoy, who will then take the questions that come in and answer them in the course of tonight's program. The number is 864-9228. This is Meeting of the Ways on KQED-FM in San Francisco. Before the program, we were talking with Sri Chinmoy about how we were going to make arrangements for the program, the format. And he said that we try and make the program an offering to God as we try to make our whole lives an offering to God. And I know in my own life it's often seemed like there was a very great difficulty in making everyday life a consecration or an offering somehow. And I was wondering, how does one go about transforming just everyday tasks and everyday life into something that's something you'd want to offer to God?
Thank you. Yes, Sudarshan. You want to make your life an object of constant dedication to God. How can you do it? You can do it easily when you feel that in this world there is only one thing to see, to feel, and to grow into, and that is God. Each one, each individual seeker has a physical body. He eats 3 times a day, usually. But if he feels that there is also something called inner food, which he can easily eat at least 3 times a day. To maintain the physical body, we need material food. Similarly, when we want to make progress in our inner life, when we want to fulfill the demands of God within us, we need regular meditation 3 times a day at least. Then there comes a time when our meditation becomes constant and spontaneous. Now to come back to your question, a sincere seeker feels that life itself is dedication, but he has to make only a conscious effort to offer this dedication to God. So each sincere seeker daily must feel the necessity of praying, meditating consciously, at least half an hour in the morning and half hour in the evening. Gradually, the prayer, the meditation will have its meaning. Spiritual life is like the life of a muscle. We develop the power of muscles through regular exercise. So through proper meditation, inner discipline, we increase the power of our meditation. And meditation, soulful meditation, when we can make, we have soulful meditation, automatically life becomes an offering, a dedication to God. Soulful and conscious meditation are of paramount importance in order to make the life a total dedication to God. So in one sentence I used to say, when we meditate, our meditation has to be conscious and soulful. Then automatically life itself becomes an object of dedication to God.
Thank you. Right along this line, the next question, which would naturally follow, that has been telephoned in, was, does Sri Chinmoy have any guidance for people who are just starting, just beginning meditation?
Yes.
How to make our meditation conscious and soulful?
Yes, thank you. Now, my advice to the beginners, that is to say, who have just launched into the spiritual path, is this. A beginner, all in the morning, should read some spiritual books written by spiritual masters and not by the so-called scholars and professors. But there are quite a few spiritual masters living on earth even now. If one reads the writings of spiritual masters, that is to say God-realized souls, automatically their consciousness will be elevated and the living guidance comes directly from the consciousness of the writings of the spiritual masters. Then when they start meditating early in the morning, the consciousness of the spiritual masters, the books they read of a particular spiritual master, will try to permeate their life of aspiration. Then when he meditates, he will feel an inner guidance coming. Where from? It is coming from the inner inspiration and also from the inner guidance that the spiritual master has offered to the sincere seeker. Every day a beginner should read until he has got his own spiritual master. If he has his own spiritual master, naturally, even if he is a beginner, he will get proper instruction from his spiritual master. But before he gets one, he has to read the writings of a real spiritual, genuine spiritual master. The consciousness, the light of the spiritual master is in his book, in his writings. His writing is his living expression. He cannot be physically everywhere, but his writings, his inner light, can be everywhere, and book is a most significant medium. So if he reads the book, a beginner without a spiritual master, then he will be amply inspired to go deep within. Again, the consciousness of the spiritual master, which is in his writing, will come to help him, to guide him inwardly, silently. Even his outer being may not be aware, the seeker's outer being may not be aware of the guidance that he's getting from the spiritual master. But it is absolutely true the inner consciousness, the illumined consciousness, the realized consciousness of the spiritual master is bound to help and kindle the flame of true aspiration in the individual seeker, provided he is sincere.
Another question has been asked. How can I strengthen my devotion?
Yes. I mean, devotion to whom? Devotion to one's inner life or devotion to one's guru, God? Is it in the question?
The question was just asked, devotion.
All right.
Objectless devotion.
All right. How can he increase his devotion?
Strengthen devotion.
Okay. How can he strengthen his devotion? No. Before we enter into devotion, before one can think of strengthening one's devotion, one should pay attention to one's love, inner love, the divine love. Devotion is fed by devoted love. If there is no love for anything, then there can be no devotion. We are devoted. Suppose, let us use the term even attached. We as ordinary human beings are attached to others. Why? Because love is prompting. This love is again human love. Human love is prompting the individual to be attached to somebody else. So in the spiritual life also, we use the term devotion instead of attachment. Ordinary life, we say attachment, and in spiritual life, we use the term devotion. Now, if one wants to strengthen one's devotion to a cause, or to one's master, to God, or to his own spiritual life, he has to feel the utmost necessity of love. Does he need it? Does he need the person? Does he really want it? Then he has to feel, can he exist on earth without loving this particular cause or the person, his guru or God? If he feels that he does not exist even for a brief second, that without being, without loving, or without being devoted to the cause, then automatically his devotion will be strengthened. Then he has to go one step ahead. He has to feel that the person or the cause that he's loving. Is he loving? Is he showing his devotion for the sake of his own satisfaction? Or he wants to strengthen his devotion so that the object of his devotion can be pleased with him. There are two ways. One way is to please the person according to one's way of seeing the truth. Again, there is another way to devote oneself to God, to please God in his own way. So an individual seeker, if he wants to strengthen his devotion, then he can do it in abundant measure if he has the inner strength or capacity or even willingness to say that I love God for God's sake, him to please in his own way, I exist on earth. If this is his will, if this is what he wants from his life, then automatically God's adamantine protection, his unconditional concern, unconditional compassion will descend on that particular seeker, and his devotion either to God or to any cause is bound to be strengthened in abundant measure.
Thank you.
In our spiritual life, we start with concentration. Then we enter into meditation, finally we enter into contemplation. Now, concentration. When we want to develop willpower, we concentrate. Every day, our mind is restless. It cannot think of one thing more than one fleeting minute. Constantly, mind is moving from one place to another, from one idea to another. But if we know how to focus our concentration on a particular spot, on one of our centers, we have six major centers, we can concentrate, or we can concentrate on any object or on the picture of our spiritual master, then we will be able to throw aside many uncomely thoughts, undivine ideas from our mind. Our concentration acts like an arrow in the spiritual life. If doubt enters into our mind, the power of concentration will tear doubt into pieces. If fear enters into our mind, power of concentration will chase your fear. Now, how can we develop the power of concentration? We can develop in our spiritual life through a disciplined life, a pure life. If one leads a pure life, a disciplined life, automatically one gets abundant power of concentration. People say, I don't have power of concentration. I say, lead a pure life. Lead a disciplined life. It is from disciplined life and pure life we get power of concentration. And then, of course, if one has a master, then master will be able to give him, structure his life with power of concentration. Now, when we are successful in concentration, we enter into the domain of meditation. Concentration clears the road so that the traveler can walk along the path of meditation. Now, in concentration, we only focus on one particular object or subject. We do not allow anything else to enter into our mind. If you are thinking, if you are concentrating on our master, only master is in our existence. Nobody. We don't look forward, backward, upward. No, only the master whom we need. This is concentration. Concentration will not look anywhere else. One pointed attention on a particular thing is concentration. But when we enter into meditation, what do? We try to contact inner peace, inner light, inner bliss. It is a domain, very vast realm. There we try to enter into the reality which you call peace, bliss, light and delight. Here we enter. Now, in meditation, we see the whole sea all at once. In concentration, we take drop by drop. We cannot concentrate on a vast thing. We can concentrate on a particular small thing. There, we focus all our attention, and then we derive willpower from there. Then when we meditate, we enter into the vast sea, or vast sky, something vast. And the reality of vastness enters into our meditation. Or we enter into the reality of vastness in meditation. But in contemplation, we go again a step ahead. We do not become the reality itself. When we contemplate, we enter into the reality, and the reality becomes part and parcel of our life. Now, when one meditates, say, on the sea or the sky, first one enters into the consciousness of the sea when you meditate. But when you contemplate, the consciousness becomes our very own. So contemplation is the last stage. We start with concentration, then meditation, then contemplation. final stage is contemplation. There, the lover and the beloved become one, the seeker and the God become totally one, and vision and reality become one. Contemplation offers us the message of oneness. The seeker becomes inseparably one with God, vision becomes inseparably one with reality, and the divine lover, God lover, becomes inseparably one with God. There they cannot be separated. It is inseparably one. The object, the seeker, and the truth become inseparably one in contemplation. There can be no separativity. The finite become inseparably one with the infinite. A tiny drop enters into the ocean and it loses its individuality and personality, becomes the ocean itself. Inseparable oneness we get from contemplation. With inseparable oneness with the highest absolute we get from contemplation.
Thank you very much. We'll have a short break.